Hello, everyone. Larry Bailey here with Awesome Technologies, Inc., bringing you another weekly newsletter. This information is brought to you from MBS Highway, your trusted source for mortgage market intelligence. It's also brought to you from Awesome Technologies, Inc., because we support you in everything that you do, and part of what you do is needing to know what's happening with information. If you ever need anything with regards to help for your Encompass platform, your Byte platform, or MeridianLink platform, or if you just want to create something really, really cool, that's both affordable and gets the job done, we'll help with that. A lot of things we talked about this week at the Lenders One conference, the L1 Summit. We talked about helping people with workflow and technology reviews, making sure they have the technology that they actually need, and reducing those costs appropriately. Helping people with automating their compensation, and that helps obviously for loan officers, bonus plans, commission plans, etc. And full automation. And last is business intelligence, like on steroids through the Bullseye platform, sucking in data from every possible place and putting it into a visualizer and a way for you to go through that information and have it make sense all at once. So let's get into the review. You can find out, by the way, we're doing this, if you're listening to this on podcast, thanks very much. You can find the full video replay with screen share over at mortgage.community. So here's the newsletter. This is for the week of February 26th, 2024. And the Fed's favored inflation measure showed that the annual inflation continues to progress lower, albeit slowly. And while the weather and mortgage rates impacted signed contracts for homes in January, key home price indices revealed that 2023 was another strong year for appreciation. Here's the headlines we're going to go through today. First story is Fed's favored inflation measure in line with forecasts. Next story is new home sales jump in January. See what that means. The next story is pending home sales pull back. That's followed up by the next story of home values continue to move higher. And the last story here is unemployment claims rise during latest week. So the Fed's favored measured in line with forecasts. That's the first story. And you can see this graph brought to you from the Bureau of Economic Analysis. The January personal consumption expenditures, you'll hear that as PCE. I keep hearing on the news, I'm like, nobody knows what the hell PCE is. Stop. So if you want to find out more about what the PCE really is, honestly, just Google the thing and you'll find out. But basically, what it showed us is that the headline inflation rose 0.3% for the month, while the year-over-year reading fell from 2.6 to 2.4%. This is a big deal, like a good trend. The core PCE, which is the Fed's preferred method, because that strips out the volatile food and energy prices, that rose by 0.4 monthly. And so the year-over-year reading fell from 2.9 to 2.8, pushing this important metric one step closer to the Fed's 2% target and its lowest level in almost 3 years. Woohoo! So these PCE readings were in line with expectations, thankfully, and it was welcome news after previous inflation reports from the previous week, where they were hotter than expected. And though the hot 0.4% monthly reading and the core is something to keep an eye on, was this a one-off or was it a trend? Meaning, was it higher going higher? Or are we actually just like a blip and it's going to keep going lower? We shall see. Bottom line here is the Fed's been working hard to tame inflation, hiking its benchmark Fed funds rate 11 times since March of 22 through July of 23. And of course, all this is bringing the economy slower, and it puts pressure on people from borrowing so much and spending so much. And since then, inflation has moved down where it's at now, 2.4%, down from 7.1%. But Fed Chair Jerome Powell also stressed that while the Fed is, quote, committed to returning inflation 2% over time, close quote, Fed members won't, quote, wait till it gets 2% to cut rates, close quote. And so I was out here again at the Lenders One Summit, the L1 Summit by Lenders One Mortgage Cooperative here in Los Angeles. And we had a beautiful, great economist. I don't know why I call him beautiful, but a beautiful conversation. And it was beautiful because it really explained everything that's going on in terms of the current status of the economy, how inventory really affected the economy during the pandemic, and what happened as a chain reaction afterwards. The current prediction is July. Some folks have been saying July all along, whatever. But July is what they're thinking. Nobody knows. Could be sooner, but they're definitely not waiting until we get the 2% to cut. That's for sure. So next story is new home sales jump in January. And again, this jump ideas to me is funny. New home sales, which measure signed contracts on new homes, were up 1.5% from December. Like that's a jump. I don't know. Signed contracts were also 1.8% in January. We're up 1.8% versus January. So we're seeing increases in new home sales. So the bottom line for this is January's modest increase wasn't as large as economists had forecasted, as frigid temperatures around the country. Yeah, January sucked in a lot of places, and it kept people inside. Trust me, if you had to buy a house, you go out no matter what the weather is, buy the house. But the bottom line is it's all about supply, right? So there's a lot on the screen, you can read it, but we've been talking about supply now forever. And the reality is builders can't finish housing quick enough. And again, on stage here at the summit, what we heard was that there's like a million new units, apartment units, housing units coming online this year. All of those, or almost all of those, are in 12 metropolitan large areas across the country, like 12. And so one of the call-outs was Austin, right? So if you live in Austin, you probably see cranes everywhere building, apartment buildings. I can tell you, I live in southern New Jersey, not too far from Philadelphia. And yeah, they just, I blinked and they like popped up. It's, I don't know the exact count, but it's at least 300 units like overnight, and they're filling up. So that's good for supply for rental. Single family home construction is a whole nother thing. And so we'll see how that goes. It leads us right into our next story, where pending home sales pulled back. So the pending home sales fell 4.9% from December to January. Per the National Association of Realtors, that's the NAR, that came in below expectations. Sales were also 8.8% below the level reported in January 23. As you remember, pending home sales is people who sign contracts, but they're not closed yet. So the bottom line here is the job market is solid. Okay. The country's total wealth reached a record high due to stock market gains. Great. And home price gains. Great. And so Lawrence Young, who's the chief economist for NAR, said, quote, this combination of economic conditions is favorable for home buying. I don't know. I'm going to kind of give a counter to that. Like, it's great that the stock market went up, but those people are in the stock market through their retirement accounts. So they're not going to pull money out of their retirement account to go buy a house. No economic advisor is ever going to say that, like unless you're living on the street kind of a thing. And home price gains are great, but if your home price you're living, if the home that you're living in is gaining price, and the home price, the home that you want to buy is gaining price, it's a net zero. So I don't know. Growing wealth is really, really hard. We've talked about this before, and I'm going to say this again. If you don't own a home, find a place that needs work. Nobody wants to do work anymore. Find a place that needs to do work and get a rehab, either an FHA 203K or a Fannie Home Style loan or a Freddie Mac Home Possible loan. If you need somebody to talk to about that loan product, I can refer you. But that's how I built up personal wealth. I found a house that needed work, and I either did the work myself or I got a friend to help me. I used 203K loans at least 4 or 5 times over the course. And another way to do it is buy multi-unit. If you don't own a home today, you can get an owner-occupied multi-unit without raising any red flags and get in there and get work done and get some rental income and start building up wealth that way. That's, like, I don't know, we don't talk about that enough. But if you ever want to talk about like how to get through that and home hacks, how to get into housing, that kind of a thing, head over to mortgage.community and let's talk about it in the community. Next story is home values continue to move higher. So Case-Shiller Home Price Index came out. And it's considered the gold standard for appreciation. And that showed home prices nationwide rose 0.2% from November to December after a seasonal adjustment. So home values in December were also 5.5% higher than a year earlier. That's good. It's continued to be, 7 consecutive streaks of record highs in 23. The Federal Housing Finance Agency Home Price Index also showed rises. So it's great when you have multiple indexes that are showing rising. Bottom line here is last year was a strong one for appreciation. I can tell you that personally, again, but my house. The final numbers rose. Final numbers for 2023 showed home prices were up 5.5% per Case-Shiller and 6.6% per FHFA. I'm going to say this again, though, just like I said a moment ago, it's paper gain. It's not really, it's good when you want to sell or good when you want to borrow, but it also keeps some things a little bit out of reach for some people. So I know we said it in other weekly reviews, but if you find a house that you can afford, if you're trying to buy, like go grab it, get it real quick. Don't worry about interest rates. As long as it's affordable, make it work. And then get in there, fix the house up, make it nice, make it comfortable for you. And if it's a stepping stone, use it like that. Okay. You get yourself some wealth and get some education. And again, always reach out if you have any other questions from this. The next story is unemployment claims rose during latest week. So applications for new unemployment benefits rose by 13,000 in the latest week as 215,000 initial jobless claims were filed. And then also continuing claims rose. So now we're back up to 1.905 million people still receiving benefits after filing their initial claim, which is a trend that has been going up over the last, since November 21, it's the second highest reading. And, you know, it's tough. People don't want to, you know, a lot of businesses are still in this precarious spot for should they hire, should they not. So here's the family hack of the week, gang. Delight family and friends with this light and buttery pound cake. I love me some good pound cake. This one's brought to you from All Recipes. It's perfect for snacks. Yeah, you can cut that sucker up and just snack on it throughout the time that it's still good and available. Preheat oven to 325 degrees Fahrenheit. Grease and flour, a bundt pan. If you don't know what a bundt pan is, look it up. You'll see it. In a large mixing bowl, cream in 3 1/4 cups sugar and 3 sticks of 1 1/2 cups of unsalted butter. That's a lot of butter. Make sure that butter's room temperature because you're going to mix that up until it's light and fluffy, which is about 5 minutes. Add into that 6 extra large eggs at one at a time, and you beat for 45 seconds after each one that you add. Add in 2 tablespoons vanilla extract and beat that for 30 seconds. You're going to separately in a medium bowl, you're going to combine 3 cups all-purpose flour, 1/2 teaspoon baking powder, and 1/2 teaspoon salt, and 1/4 teaspoon nutmeg. Add 1/2 of that flour mixture to the butter mixture and then mix all that on low speed until just blended. Don't overblend it. Add 1/2 cup milk and beat on low until just blended and repeat with the remaining flour mixture and adding another 1/2 cup milk. You're going to scrape the sides of the bowl with a spatula between each addition. That way you can make sure everything's properly mixed. Pour all that batter into the prepared dish, smoothing the top with a spatula. Bake until a toothpick inserted into the center comes out clean. It's a wooden toothpick, by the way. And the cake is just starting to pull away from the sides of the pan. Around 1 hour and 25 minutes, just a random number. Cool for 15 minutes before inverting that cake. You basically flip it. I always put the cake on the bottom and then I flip it all together. And then you kind of tap it and hopefully it comes out clean. And then cool completely before serving. Enjoy. Here's what to look for this week. We'll get more appreciation data when CoreLogic releases their home price index for January on Tuesday. Then labor sector data will dominate the headlines starting Wednesday with the JOLTS, that's job openings report for January and February. The ADP employment report, which measures private payrolls, also comes out Wednesday. The latest jobless claims will be released on Thursday, while Friday brings February jobs reports from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the BLS. And that includes the non-farm payrolls and the unemployment rate. My name is Larry Bailey with Awesome Technologies, Inc. I'm telling you, we can help you with anything with regards to workflow, technology, or just consultative work as well. If you ever need anything we have to do, get over to awesometechinc.com, or you can reach out to me directly at using Larry at atihelps.com. Thanks, everybody. Take care.